Como belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette come butto, belle faste già, sotto celle de Roma.
Welcome to Italian American Life with Frankie D, the very first Italian American podcast, and we are at ItalianAmericanLife.com. My guest today is Barbara Ann Zippy, who is the associate publisher of the Delaware Valley Italian American Herald newspaper and the creator of Ciao Bella Living Italian Style, which explores international relations on TV and in print, connecting family, friends, people, companies, and nonprofits. Barbara, it's great to have you here with us today.
It's wonderful to be here, Frank. I'm so excited to be sharing Italy and news about Italians with your audience.
Yes, and you are coming to us from Italy, so I can't wait to learn all about that. In fact, I want to know where the Delaware Valley is, because I'm just a Chicago dummy, and I'm not sure of that. So we'll get into all that, but first, tell me about where you're from, where you grew up, and your Italian family background.
So I grew up I was born in Philadelphia, in actually South Philadelphia, which is a big populated Italian community, South Philadelphia. And go Eagles right now because, we're in the Super Bowl. But my grandmothers and my grandfathers were all born in Italy and in Abruzzo. So I'm second generation, and I was lucky because my grandmother, my one grandmother, my mother's mother, Lucia Nobilio, she was sent for to go to America by one of the men in her village. My grandfather, Guido Acciavati, had gone in the early 1920s they had a big exodus of Italians to America from southern Italy, the Abruzzo region, the Calabria region, all the south, because it was very poor economically, not like the north. The north has always been prosperous. So my grandfather went over, saw my grandmother's picture because he was living coincidentally with her brother, and said, "Oh, I want to marry a woman from the village. If you bring her over here, tell them to bring her over here, I'll marry her." Well, she had no say in the matter. 18 years old, she had to go, and on a ship, which most of the people, even in your area that have come to the United States, most of the ships left from Naples. So Abruzzo is on the Adriatic Sea. So you have to go across the country. At that time, there were no super, super highways. So you had to go over that mountainous terrain and then to go to Naples to get to the ship. So what we were lucky about was that my grandmother, who ended up having 8 living children, made sure that all of them went back to the village. My grandmother always kept in touch with my family here. She was known for sending care packages of clothing and toys and Jell-O. They still don't have Jell-O in Italy. So when I come, I always bring Jell-O. And so she always did that. And interestingly enough, as I've come back to the village and met people who remember those boxes coming in, the children remember the toys and the Jell-O and the clothes. The adults, though, who were teenagers at the time, remember envelopes filled with money. So that was really interesting because I didn't know that. I did know my grandmother always sent money over and my grandfather didn't like it.
It's 11 o'clock.
But I didn't realize the older people saw the money and thought, my grandmother lived such a rich life in America. Lucia was so lucky. Well, here, my grandmother was left a wonderful home in her village, left a boyfriend, and And it was hard in America in the early 1920s for the Italian Americans. They were not looked on as, not to say good immigrants, that's not the word I'm looking for, but
They were
they
a
were at the
lower
bottom of
class
the,
of citizens, yes.
yeah, they were at the bottom of the chain of the citizenship. So so my grandmother, she wasn't my favorite grandmother growing up, actually, but I've come to appreciate the fact that it's over 100 years now, and I'm coming to you from her village, Loreto Abruzzino.
Where is that in Abruzzo?
It's in the Abruzzo province. Loreto Abruzzino is in the province of Abruzzo. It is by the Adriatic Sea, and the seaport town is named Pescara.
Okay.
So if you go down a little south, you'll hit Bari, which is where the ferry goes to Greece. And if you go up a little north, you start hitting the northern area, like towards Venice and Florence and Venice and up the coast. So it's actually right across from Rome.
How far are you from the water?
So it's the village here is situated wonderfully because there's a local bus that's a half an hour's bus ride down to the Adriatic Sea. And it's
Beautiful.
beautiful year round. It's beautiful year round.
That's
Pescara
wonderful.
is a beautiful city to go to. So I am living with my grandmother's 90-year-old niece who speaks no English.
Okay, wow, that's
because
great.
all of her children are married and have homes, my cousins in their own, in the village.
And now you've been going back to Italy often, or like how long are you staying there?
You know, my grandmother, I mean, I came with my mother. The first time I came with my mother was 1976. And then we always came back. And people would say, oh, you know, when you go next time, take me. I'm like, there's no place for you to sleep. Airbnb wasn't born in hotels and things. So now that's all starting to crop up. So
And how
I.
long are you there for this stretch? Are you there for an extended period or?
So, you know, 9/11 stopped a lot of our travels back and forth. Our Italian cousins didn't want to come to America. And the Americans were very leery. Our Italian family, American family was leery to come to Italy. Then you had COVID, which really put a crunch on things. And we saw the last of my mother's generation pass away who stayed in touch with the old Italians. And that's how we got our news, you know, when we would when the Italians would come to the Philadelphia area, oh, the Italians are coming and we get to see them. But all the news about them throughout the years came from our parents staying connected. After COVID, and I was widowed right before COVID. So I was tired of being alone and live on an old farm property in outside of Philadelphia. And I called my cousins, emailed my cousins and said, I want to come to Italy. You needed only two shots to get on the plane. I said, I'm coming. And they were so excited because our generation now is what has to keep the link open. And I don't have children, but my nieces and nephews, my brothers, my cousins, since I came back after COVID, they're all taking their side trips here, which is so exciting to see.
Well, that's great that you promote it and you encourage it and you know, really, really sell it to your family and beyond.
You know, we live Italian every day. We could get into the pasta challenge, you know, we could get into meatball gravy versus sauce, whatever it is. People in America, Italians love to be, I mean, Americans, especially Italian Americans, they're proud of their heritage. They feel, I want to see a check mark when I have to cover black, white, Eskimo or whatever. I want to put Italian in
Sure. No,
there.
I get it. I get it. That's great. And You're right, because the best thing is go to Italy. Go to Italy, make a trip to Italy and see where it all starts and where it all, what we, why we are what we are, and go right to the source. So I'm in total accordance with you there.
So, you know, with that, and I'm sure the people in Chicago are from Southern Italy. So Southern Italy is like
majority Puglia, are
Calabria, sure. Sicily, Abruzzo. In Italy, they've started to this thing called roots tourism.
Yes, I'm from.
But they want to, for the southern region, because most of the Italian Americans in America didn't come from Venice and Milan and Rome. They were happy and wealthy and, you know, living life. They came from the hillsides and the farms and the villages that didn't have a future. My one cousin here, who's my age, I remember his father sent him to America for 6 months to learn the language. And he went back to Italy, and we've stayed in touch. And he was lucky to get a job. His children, though, who are in their 30s and 40s now, there's industry here. One works in electronics and gets sent to Seattle and Texas and Washington, and his base is his hometown. At one time, our ancestors had to leave here to work.
You're right. Yeah, it's changed. No, it's it's a beautiful, beautiful place, and it has changed. And I agree with you. So, tell me about the Delaware Valley Italian American Herald and newspaper. First of all, Delaware Valley, where is that?
Delaware Valley, and I think each state has their own trifecta, like New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey. Well, the Delaware Valley is Philadelphia, Greater Philadelphia area, New Jersey, and the state of Delaware. Pretty much the state of New Jersey from down to Atlantic City over to Cape May. We're a good stomping ground. A lot of you have to come this way to get connecting flights to places.
Well, that covers a big area. So this is this a newspaper that's in print, or is this?
My boss, the owner of the newspaper, he owns very successful four color magazines. This is a newspaper. His mother was an immigrant from Calabria. None of his other newspapers or magazines have anything to do with Italian roots. And about 10 years ago, I've been writing for the paper for 10 years, but I've been associate publisher for three. About 10 years ago, he had the opportunity to save the paper. And his mother being an Italian immigrant, his family, his father being in publishing, it was a natural, he just assumed it up. And we've come a long way. So we're monthly in print. We're also online, ItalianAmericanHerald.com. All of our printed issues are digitized on there. We have a social media, you know, we have a Facebook page, Italian American Herald. We're on Twitter and or X, and we have e-newsletters. And I'm excited because the last 3 years we've built that component to start to attract the next generation.
Which is very important. What are some of the stories? What do you cover? What's the news?
Oh, my gosh, we cover everything. We always have a wine feature. There's always something to do with wine. There's always something to do with food, something to do with history and culture, immigrant stories of the local communities, people and how they got started. So it's actually the Chicago area. I started subscribing to Franoi, FRANOI, your monthly magazine. I love it. And I've noticed, I'm learning so much about the Italian-American community in Chicago, because there's pockets of us all over the world.
For sure.
But Chicago is Chicago is big, and Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, we're oversaturated, which is fine.
No, definitely. That's wonderful.
And you know what's great?
You always have to have these. I mean, these kind of things, they help. They help promote. They help keep it alive. That's the bottom line.
You know what I think is, I find with our printed newspaper, even though we are distributed complimentary to restaurants and churches and all of that in our region, we have subscribers in 22 states. Our subscribers are from all over. And I think that that's important. And I think the print, the actual printed newspaper, doesn't get thrown away, Frank. It goes from somebody else to somebody else. Or, oh, that Italian paper, can I have it when you're done with it? I swear there's at least three or four sets of eyes on our newspaper before it's ever at the bottom of a birdcage or something.
So there's no subscription. So it's a free publication.
It's a subscriptions are only $27 a year mailed to their home, which they can get at the website. Just click a button. But no, they don't pay for our newspaper. It's in the churches. It's in the restaurants.
I like a newspaper. I like to hold a newspaper and read a newspaper. I might be, you know, old school, but I enjoy that.
I love a newspaper. And I'm really having fun with this because we're trying to, I had a 14-year-old girl do a story on La Befana, the witch that, you know, goes around on January 6th, which is really the epiphany. If you're Catholic, you know how the traditions happen. And I had her write the story. And then when we have the opportunity to put young people's faces in the newspaper, I try to do that with my niece's boys, because I went to speak to a class. He was their second grade class. It was Women's History Month. So I brought in the Italian newspaper and was talking about the stories and culture. Who was Greek? Had everybody raise their hands. Who's Greek? Who's Chinese? Who's Italian? Who's Irish? Like, what are you? And this one little boy raised his hand. And he was certainly Eastern Indian, you know, of the culture. And he said, I'm an American. And I said, you know what? You are absolutely so right, because we are all Americans. But, you know, like, it's our culture that is our history, and we all have one. And I think it's great to make the young people aware of that.
Yes, it's very important, for sure. Please tell me about... So Ciao Bella Living Italian Style, that's your baby, right? That's your...
Oh, Ciao Bella Living Italian Style.
Tell me what
style.
That is.
Yes.
Where you see it. Tell me all about that, please.
So Ciao Bella Living Italian Style, I have a page every month in the Italian American Herald, and I use it as a picture page, and usually feature things about Abruzzo or Italy. Sometimes in the summertime, we might highlight some of the New Jersey seashore sites, but most of the time it's Italy. And I also have episodes, the 30-minute episodes on mainline TV station, which is a community access station in our region, but it's all the TV shows are archived on MLTV21.org/Ciao Bella. And, you know, I started out me interviewing Italian Americans in our region and their success stories or what they were doing, and it was great. Then I took a little hiatus because my husband got sick and passed. And as I was saying, after COVID, I came to Italy to just sit in my grandmother's village. That's all, which is an experience in itself, which is only like 700 people. If you include the whole little region, I think it's about 5,000, but in the town square in the historic center, not more than 1,000 people.
It's nice. It's slow paced, correct? It's a nice, peaceful life.
You go to the butcher shop and he cuts the meat right in front of you. What do you want? You go to the bread shop, you go to the fruit stand. I don't know how you buy artichokes, but this time of year, artichokes are great. And in Philadelphia, the artichokes can be $3.50 each. So when I went to the to the fruit market here, they were four for $5. Oh my God, I've been making artichokes all different ways for my cousins over here. So, geez, I forgot what I was saying. Oh, so anyway, there's always a festival. You never know. Your baptisms happened when the mass, you don't realize it, but the mass is going on, and then they take a little break and have a baptism and go back to the mass again. And so I started taking a lot of photos and going to the supermarket. Like, none of the eggs are refrigerated. All of the eggs and the milk are out. It's so sustainable here living. It's just amazing. So I met an olive farmer, Pierluigi Pace, at New Year's Eve dinner, and I asked him, "Oh, Pierluigi, can I visit your farm?" He had a tasting room in the village, but can I come out to the farm and see what it looks like in the winter? And then if I come back in the spring, and I happen to have to come each season in the past year and a half since COVID. And I did a story on the seasons, and boy, I thought I knew a lot about olive oil till I was educated by Pierluigi, which I have a couple stories and a TV show on, So anyway, I come home from Italy that first trip, and I thought, let me stop by that TV studio, I'm embarrassed to show my pictures and video to my family. They kept bored. What do you want now? You're always, talking about Italy. So here, the young man who answered the door, who's the new general manager, was the intern when I did this venture over 10 years ago. And I said, "Kevin, I have all these pictures and video and things from Italy. I would love to share them." He said, "We would love to have that." And he had my paperwork. And so I did a show on the olive oil. The olive oils. I did a show on one of the wineries in Florence that actually had their 500th anniversary of their family. And so, like, different stories. An artist musician that I met in the town, I did a story on him.
Now, do
It's
you
just
do these shows alone, or do you have somebody that co-produces it,
My
centers?
background was in television. So, well, I had relatives in television on a major network in the Philadelphia area. So I understood the basics. And so no, I do it all, except Kevin does the editing
Okay.
at the studio.
Some of
Now
it you film in these videos in Italy, and some do you have like a studio in Philadelphia that you would do the show?
So I go to his when I co go back, I go to his studio. I bring all the videos with me that we want to do, and the photos. And then, as I'm talking about the experiences or explaining it to the people, he puts up the he feeds in the proper images.
All that, yeah.
Now, what I love, the last year I was. There was a festival marching right by this house during Sant'Antonio, which is in January. And all the people follow the priest from the church to this other spot that they do. So I got caught up in the crowd with my iPhone trying to capture what it looked like and the sound of it while not trying to trip on cobblestone streets that are, you know, it's not like paved roads.
It's not. Yeah.
So I hope one day to get a little bit more refined with it. But I love what I'm doing now, and it gives me the opportunity to record it and share people's stories that are here. And
oh, that's wonderful. And I can tell that all this, all the things you've told us about, this isn't work. This is a love affair. It's passion, and you could see that, and that's great. And you know, we need people like you to keep promoting, keep telling our stories, keep showing our young people, keep encouraging. That's great.
You know, when this opening came up at the newspaper for associate publisher, because I always was in public relations in some way, shape, or form with my own company. But this associate publisher's position came up at the newspaper, and or a position came up. The editor had actually left, an old Italian man, you know, but he retired. So I'm the guy that owns the papers, known me for years, and I asked if, you know, to see if we could meet for lunch, to say I wanted to throw my hat in the ring. And he said, to be the editor? I said, no, I want to be like the publisher, because I think the content is important besides the advertisers. And the advertisers you get should be related in some way to the culture. It's growing the whole image. And at that time, it wasn't on social media and the web, not a lot. And so he said, well, I'm the publisher. I go, well, there's other titles. I said, but I said, I live, sleep, and eat Italian every day. I just grew up around it. It's just natural. I know the Italian communities now after certain years that we are around, Frank. We get to know, you know, all these different associations, different towns. The Italians in It's funny. I'm a South Philadelphia Italian American. There's Chester is a city near us. There's Chester Italians. Norristown is another big community. Norristown Italians, Southwest Philadelphia Italians, Hamilton, New Jersey Italians. They're all different. Everybody's got their own, you know, but because of my roots, big family and all, I knew the area, and I do love it. I just don't think any of our children, no matter if they're mixed cultures, whatever it is, they gotta know what it is.
I agree. We have a little bit in common, than you know. So my father's Abruzzese.
Oh.
Yes. And we're from a small town in a mountain close to Sulmona. Are you familiar with Sulmona?
Sulmona is like 40 minutes away.
Okay, wonderful city, known for making the confetti candies. And they have a thing that if you're there in Easter, and I don't know if you will be, the Easter Sunday morning, they have the running of the Madonna.
I haven't been here for the Easter season yet. They do the running of the Madonna, you're right. And they also do something with live horse jousting.
Yes, they do. Oh, you are up on this. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah. No, I haven't been here for okay. those seasons well,
I,
yet.
That's one of my, I don't know, one of the things I want to do before I leave this world. I want to be in Sulmona on Easter Sunday morning to experience it because it just looks incredible.
Oh, good. Frank, do it. I mean, absolutely. You know, give yourself time to be here.
Yeah. Good people, Abruzzese people. Very good people.
The people of Italy are wonderful, even when you come off the airport. I travel as a single elder American, And they couldn't be nicer. They couldn't be nicer.
Absolutely. Tell us once again how to follow you, how to see your TV show, how to acquire the newspaper, either in print or online, please.
Sure. So the Italian American Herald, they can go on the website, italianamericanherald.com. And all of our, they could read free all of the past digital issues, see the current news. And there's also an easy way to sign up for the e-newsletter and a link where they could get a subscription. A year's subscription mailed directly to them is only $27. Ciao Bella Living Italian Style. It has an active Facebook page. And also, you can catch past episodes of the TV show, or all the TV shows are listed there at mltv21.org slash Ciao Bella.
Beautiful. Well, Barbara, thanks so much for the interview. But more importantly, keep up the great work. You're a treasure for us, for Italian America, okay?
Frank, I'm thrilled that I never thought you would respond back after I saw your notice on one of the social media platforms. And you're my first podcast, so I'm so excited.
Oh,
Thank you for
thank you so
having me as
much.
a
Thank
guest.
you. Thank you. And all the best in the future. Keep going and keep promoting, please.
Ciao. Anytime you need any references, Frankie, just give me a buzz.
Sounds great.
Ciao.
Ciao,
Ciao,
ciao.
ciao.